Text number 26. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam asthiram tatastato niyam yaitad atmanyeva vasham naet. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam asthiram tatastato niyam yaitad atmanyeva vasham nayet. Yato, from wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady, but a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. One who controls the mind and therefore the senses as well is called Goswami or Swami, and one who is controlled by the mind is called Godas or the servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesh or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is higher perfection of yoga practice. Om Adhyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. Translation once again. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Hare Krishna. So this chapter 6, is entitled Dhyan Yoga. So here, Lord Shri Krishna is telling Arjuna the process of Dhyan Yoga. And he's saying that you have to bring your mind back whenever it wanders from your object of meditation, that is Krishna. So, Krishna explains that process in this chapter. He says that you must samam kayak shiro grivam dharayan achalam sthira sampreksha nasikagaram swam dashashchanavalokyan. That you have to go to the forest, you know, this is Ashtanga Yoga process. So, for Ashtanga Yoga, you have to go to the forest. Alright. And you go to the forest, go to a clean place, you know, sit with your back erect in a Padmasana pose. And samam kaya kshiro grivam, you have to sit erect. And you have to focus your eyes onto the tip of your nose, and you have to meditate. Okay, you have to meditate on manasamyamya machitto yukta asita matpara. You have to meditate on the Lord within our hearts. And when you are meditating, when the mind wanders, then you have to bring it back. Mind wanders, bring it back. Mind wanders, bring it back. That is the process. Mind wanders, bring it back. Many times it happens that, you know, mind keeps wandering. Like students have that realization when they're studying. Hours together, sometimes they're on the same page, but they have not moved ahead. Is it not? It happens. Even while we sit in class, many times it happens that our mind wanders from what is being spoken. So just like, you know, recently one devotee was saying that one devotee was giving a lecture on Ramayana. And the full Ramayana was over. And one man raises his hand and he says, I have a question. So he said, what question do you have? So he says, out of this Ram and Ravan, jo aapne kaha, Ram and Ravan, wo dono mein villain kaun hai? Wo dono mein villain kaun hai, bhai? So that person said, oh, villain na Ram hai, na Ravan hai, villain to main hi hoon. Kyunki main aapko Ramayana sunane ki koshish kar raha tha. Isn't it? So it happens that many times, you know, our mind is wandering here and there. It's not just focused. So the The message is that you have to bring your mind back to Krishna. So we have to understand that the yoga processes, all yoga processes, whether you are in karma yoga, you are doing ashtanga yoga, or you are doing jnana yoga, or you are doing bhakti yoga, in all processes, control of the mind is essential. Because it is understood, and very well understood, that the mind is actually the cause of suffering and the cause of happiness. It's the mind that is the cause of bondage in this world. Yeah, it is the mind actually. Nothing else. If you want to be happy, we have to control our minds. And you have to fix it on Krishna. That is the process. One may, you know, gather a lot of amenities. One may have a lot of wealth, riches, a big house, and all facilities. But if the mind is not in order, if your mind is disturbed, then you will not be able to focus. You will not be able to enjoy all those facilities. It has been understood, isn't it? Because, say someone insults us. It happens many times, you know. Like once it happened, I was going with my father and we were traveling into Tirth Yatra. And we were in Vrindavan Krishna Balaram temple. There was a boat festival going on in ISKCON temple. Vrindavan, ISKCON Vrindavan. And there was a huge rush. Alright. So I was along with my parents. Huh? So in the rush, one security guard came and told my father, "Chalo, chalo, niklo yahan se abhi. Darshan le liya na, chalo." After that, he could not sit inside the temple. He became agitated, disturbed. He said, "Let's get out from here. How dare he tells me to get out from this temple? I mean, have I come here for, you know, what does he think of himself?" He got very disturbed basically. Because he was agitated, he was insulted. He felt he was insulted. How did they tell me to get out of the temple? After that, he could not sit peacefully. He was telling me, "Come, let's get out, let's go. Don't want to sit here, we don't want to be here." So when your mind is agitated, you may be sitting in an air-conditioned room, and you may be having your television on, and you may be having your near and dear ones with you, and you may be having your laptop on, and you may be having everything, your mobile phone and everything, but none of it will give you pleasure because your mind is disturbed. So you see, the difference between modern civilization and Vedic civilization is that the Vedic civilization, the Vedic followers of Vedas understood very clearly what is the problem. Where is the problem? Why are people unhappy? People are unhappy because their mind is in a mess. Therefore, if you see in the modern civilization, if what is propagated is, if you want to be happy, procure assets, you know, earn money, earn wealth, increase your assets, you know, name, fame, prestige, and all that. Get all those things, but it will not satisfy you. There is no question of satisfaction. Clearly put, the solution is there in the Gita. The solution is in controlling the mind and focusing it on Krishna. It's very important. Because the mind can make heaven into hell or hell into heaven. If you are sitting in heaven also, your mind is disturbed, it's as good as hell. There was an article which came in the newspapers. And I went home and my auntie gave me one newspaper cutting. One Indian gentleman from Cochin, Kerala, in Silicon Valley in America, with his wife and a small child, you know, probably 7-8 months old child. And someone visited him, I mean his own sister visited him in America, along with her husband. And this man, he loses his temper, something happens, he takes two guns and he shoots his wife, he shoots his small baby, he shoots his sister, he shoots his brother-in-law, and he shoots his sister's son, a 10-year-old son. Everyone shoots them, simply. And he was not some American, he was an Indian gentleman from Cochin. So what went wrong? I mean, he had a job, you know, probably many Indians are aspiring to go to America. And he was in a, something went wrong. He shot his own loved near and dear ones. So when your mind is in a mess, will these things give you satisfaction? It is clearly, we can see that in newspapers. We can see that, you open magazines, you see the lives of very wealthy people, famous people, they're all inside, they're smiling outside, but inside they're tormented by loneliness and by frustration and so much of suffering. So the secret lies in the mind. The mind can never be satisfied because the mind is very, here it is explained, yato nishchalati manas chanchalam asthiram. The mind is chanchal and asthira. Chanchal means flickering and asthira means it does not sit in one place. Like children, you see, children are constantly running around from here to there. So the mind is also just like a child. Sometimes here, sometimes there, sometimes there, sometimes here. Like I saw one child who was being kirtan. He was playing kartal just 1 minute ago. And then after a minute I saw him, he was sitting on the top and he was looking down. Just 1 minute ago he was playing kartal as if like he's like enjoying it. And then I saw it's gone. Kartal is lying there and he's on the top, he's watching. You know how children are? Or it's just like you see some all, you know, children when they are with their mothers. The mother will be talking with some other lady. And then the child will be running all everywhere. And then the mother, with one eye, she's looking at the child, where the child is going. So just like that, one should keep a vigil on our minds, where the mind is going at any point of time. And Krishna says, bring it back, bring it back. If it's going, bring it back, bring it back. Manas chanchalam asthiram. Tato tato niyam yaitad atmanya eva vasham nayat. Bring it back, bring it back. This is the nature of the mind. In the Mahabharata, there is a story, yeah, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Kamsa was taking his sister Devaki when she got married to Vasudev in the chariot. Isn't it? You've seen that, huh? You've read it. Why? Because it is his brother taking the sister on the marriage ceremony. Great honor, prestige. How wonderful. So much of love and affection. Then all of a sudden, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that there was an announcement, an Akashvani. Hello, Kamsa, this girl, your sister, Devaki, the eighth child, will be the cause of your death. The eighth son of your sister will be the cause of your death. And the moment he heard that, what did he do? He stopped the chariot, took out his sword, and held the hair of his sister, and was ready to chop off the head of Devaki. So goes to show, at one point of time, he was loving services, he was rendering so many services to his sister. At another instant, when all of a sudden he heard that, you know, there's something that his sister could harm him, then immediately he turned. His mind just turned. That is the nature of the mind. When the mind is contaminated, the mind is chanchal, it is asthiram, and it is having kalmash. The mind is having selfishness. As long as the mind is selfishly oriented, the mind can never be peaceful. One day, mind will say, oh, he's my friend. Something happens, then he's my enemy. I don't like him. He's such a nasty person. Why? Because he didn't give me something which I wanted. Or I just don't like the way he behaves or something like that. That is the nature of the mind. Accept, reject, accept, reject. One day this, one day that. Say something like this, something like that. That is the nature of the mind. You enjoy one day, and that same thing which you are enjoying, it becomes detestable. So, bhoga tyag. You enjoy one day, you get bored after some time. That is the nature, isn't it? You think, sure, let's, you know, I want a laptop, and then you get a laptop. And then you're playing with a laptop for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and then you get bored with it. I want a new model now. I want a car. I want a Maruti. And then you get a Maruti. And you drive a Maruti. Ah, it feels so good. so wonderful, nice AC, nice tape recorder, so beautiful, so smooth and so nice. And then after some time you see someone wearing driving a Mercedes. And you think, oh, Mercedes. Ah, I want a Mercedes. I want a Mercedes. And then the Maruti is not giving you any happiness. And then you want Mercedes. And then you work hard to get a Mercedes. You take a loan, mortgage and whatever. And then you purchase a Mercedes. And the same thing again, all over again. You are enjoying the Mercedes for some time and after that you get bored. And then that also goes. And it's the same thing with everything in life. You enjoy for some time, you get bored. Enjoy for some time, you get bored. This is the nature of mind. Yeah. But we can see when you come to the temple, the devotees are every day taking the darshan of the same deities. Isn't it? But they never get bored. They are always happy. Why? Because when the mind becomes purified, when the mind becomes spiritualized, you start becoming happier with lesser and lesser. That is the nature of the mind. Otherwise, you can never be satisfied. Satisfaction will never be there. We'll be constantly looking for happiness everywhere in the world, but we can never get happiness. Because happiness is not there. Happiness is where? Within. The happiness is there in the heart. The Lord is within our hearts, waiting for us to look to Him and take shelter and develop an attitude of service rather than, exploitation, exploiting others. Therefore it is said, there is a deer. A deer has got musk in its stomach. It's very fragrant. And the deer goes from one forest to another forest thinking, where is that smell coming from? That fragrance, where is it coming from? And it goes on searching and searching and searching, but it forgets actually that where is the fragrance coming from? It's coming from its own stomach actually. And the hunters catch him, they kill him and they take away that musk. Still he never realizes that it's coming from here. So therefore the Shastras tell us that where is the pleasure? The pleasure is in the controlled mind. It is in the mind. And till we have not realized that, try to focus our minds on Krishna. That is the only thing which can actually give us happiness. A yogi, what he has to do is to control his mind and fix it on Krishna. That is a yogi. You see, there are so many people and there are other problems with the mind, addictions. People get addicted. Isn't it? Like I was telling the story of one man. He was addicted to alcohol. He was drinking a lot of alcohol and a lot of smoking and drinking. So he never spent any time with his family. And one day he thought, I should do something for my son. So he goes and purchases a cycle for him. Sits with his son and talks. So how are you? How are your studies going on? And things like that. Some nice sweet talk. After some time, when his money runs out, he goes and sells the cycle and purchases some drinks and starts drinking again. You see, as long as your mind is addicted to, enjoyment, you can't really do some justice to others. Is it not? You cannot. You are bound to be, again, drawn back to your addictions. And life is so full of addictions. Someone is addicted to, maybe say drinking or smoking or could be television, or could be internet, it could be so many things. Life is all full of addictions, 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 addictions. Small, small, big, big addictions. So therefore we have to now change our addictions from being addicted to some selfish things to becoming addicted to Krishna. Coming to the temple, chanting Hare Krishna. These are the positive addictions we should be aspiring for. So, that is why it is important to control the mind. And not only that, very importantly, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. Most importantly, why we should control our mind is because our mind gives us the next body. When a person is dying, if he thinks about something, he takes that form in the next life. So there is a story of Jada Bharat, Bharat Maharaj, as you know. Very famous story. Our country gets its name from what? From this king whose name was Bharat Maharaj. Such a great king. Such a pious king. Such a dharmic, saintly king, Raj Rishi, in all respects. And this king, at the right time, he leaves his family, goes to the forest for spiritual practices. And while he's practicing, doing his sadhana, doing his yoga, he becomes attached to a deer. He sees a deer drinking water, and the deer was pregnant. And a tiger pounces on the deer to eat him up. And just at that time, the deer, because he was pregnant, she was pregnant, the deer gives birth to a small baby deer. And this Bharat Maharaj, being a saintly person, thinks that, oh, this deer is without shelter, so I should give him protection. So he brings him to his ashram and takes care of the deer, gives him things to eat, feeds him, takes care of the deer, and after some time gets attached to the deer. The deer was a pet. People keep pets, isn't it? Squirrels, rabbits, dogs, things like that. So it had become like a pet to Bharat Maharaj. It couldn't live without his pet. And every time he would sit to meditate on Krishna, that deer would come and nibble at his feet, nibble at his hands, and draw his attention away from Krishna. So every time he would sit to meditate, and he would look at the deer. And the deer would be so cute. Deers are, you know, very cute. Especially when they're small. All animals, when they're very small. In fact, children and animals, when they're young, they really draw your attention, isn't it? They're very cute and cuddly. So his mind got attracted to that very cute, cuddly form of the deer. And he used to play with it and treat it just like it's his own son. He got attached. Very severely attached. And he was, when he would sit to meditate, he would constantly think, where is the deer? I hope some wild animal has not caught it, has not killed it. I should take care of the deer. And when you are attached, there's constant insecurity. You fail to see that God is actually protecting everyone. We think that I am the protector. We are not protecting anyone. God is protecting everyone. Actually, when you forget that reality, then you think that I am the protector. And then a lot of anxieties come. So his meditation broke. He couldn't concentrate. He just couldn't concentrate. His mind was distracted. So therefore, a very important lesson. If you are obsessed with something, you cannot focus on God. Bhakti becomes very difficult. You can't come to the temple and be peaceful. You'll be thinking, "Arey, uska kya, ye kya." Can't. That is the nature of obsession. It will draw your mind away from Krishna. Then what happens? Then what happens? One day, he falls from somewhere and he meets with his death. And while dying, naturally, you think of the person whom you love the most. So what did he love the most? That cute little deer. So he thought of the deer when he was dying. And when he thought of the deer, the Bhagavatam explains, he is reborn as a deer. He gets the body of a deer. He is reborn as a deer. So therefore, Krishna explains in the Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajantyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever you are thinking, whatever state of mind you are having, at the time of death, that will be the state of body you will receive in your next life. This is a great secret. This is a great science. Yeah. Therefore, we have to be very careful of what are we contemplating on. Because all of a sudden, if death comes now, what will we think of? Is determined by what are we obsessed with in our life. And if a yogi is serious about putting an end to the cycle of birth, old age, disease and death, because another birth means to be born again. Again to take birth, again to go to school, A, B, C, D, E, F, G and all that, and 10th, and give exams on the 10th, wait for your board examination results, and then give your 12th and then, you know, get into engineering and all those kind of things. It's such a distraction, isn't it? I mean, it's such a laborious task to, you know, get through that rigmarole of going through all that. So therefore, a yogi is extremely careful about what he is contemplating on. Yeah. Because he may have to take birth again. So Bharat Maharaj, he's born again as a deer. Born again as a deer. So, one has to be careful. So it is explained that in a body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj, by God's blessings, he could remember what he was in his past life. He could remember that he was a great king and he had gone to the forest to perform spiritual activities, but he made a mistake and he became obsessed with a puny little deer. Just imagine Bharat Maharaj, who left a huge kingdom, you know, with all his opulences, his treasuries and his, you know, his beautiful wives and his children and loving children and everyone, and comes to the forest to do bhakti, and then he gets attached to a deer. It's quite a disgrace, isn't it, in one sense. So he could remember as a deer that, oh, I what a foolish person I was. Now I should take it seriously. And then in the body of a deer, he became very serious. And he would always go to the temple where the rishis would chant mantras, would recite the Gita, and he would very attentively hear and he would not get distracted. And then he dies, he gives up his body as of a deer and takes birth again as Jada Bharat. Again, as a human being. So that is a very important principle. So Krishna explains, and there have been cases, you know, like recently, about 3 months ago, I was on a train and I was going to Vrindavan. And on the train, I met a person of another religion. So I called him for a discussion. I said, why didn't you come and sit down? Let's discuss some philosophy. So I asked him, in your religion, how do you explain this? Like someone is born in a poor man's house. Yeah, a child is born in a poor man's house. And another child is born in a multi-millionaire's house. Tata, Birla or something like that. How do you explain this difference? Why is it like this? Why is God partial in making someone so rich? Or, you know, making someone very influential and gives him all the facilities. And some child is having nothing absolutely. From childhood, he's born in a slum. And he's born on the, you know, he's walking on the footpath. He doesn't have food to eat and all that. Why is God partial? So he says that is a test of God. God is testing everyone. I said, but still, why is God giving different tests to different people? He should give equal tests to everyone, isn't it? Why is he? So he did not believe that there was life after death. He believed that this is the first life that we get and this is the last life. And after this life, we will be judged by God. Are we going to hell or are we going to heaven? That's it, that's one life. But no. Our Shastras say that our birth is because of actions in the past. And that's why we see the differences. Someone is rich, someone is poor, someone is very beautiful, someone is very ugly, maybe someone is, you know, something. Some, you know, some people are born handicapped, some people are... So the thing is, why these differences? Because of our past activities. So a good birth means facilities given by God so that one can take it seriously and utilize one's human form of life to become serious in bhakti. It's a very important principle. And the mind decides it. Therefore, we have to be very careful in our minds that what are we contemplating on? Why do you think yogis, you know, why is it said here? Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam asthiram. Because a yogi knows it for sure. He's convinced about this fact that at the time of death, I should think of Krishna. I should not think of anything else. I should not be distracted like that. Very important principle. Therefore, the mind has to be dealt with very carefully. It's all the game of the mind. how our mind is formed, the body is formed accordingly. That's how it is. You know, like if you're thinking about a deer, you'd get a body of a deer. If you think of a dog, pet dog, then you know you'll get a body of a dog. Because God is so merciful. What you like, He will give you. You know, what you want, what you like, He'll give you. So that is a very important principle. Also, you know, it is explained that for happiness, we need to control our minds. Like, for example, there was a man who wanted to go to his office. Very wealthy man. And he wanted, there were a lot of pebbles on the road. So he thought, let me put a carpet from my house to the office. So is that a very intelligent solution? To put a carpet? The better thing to do is just wear rubber slippers. A soft rubber slippers. And wherever he walks, it will be as good as walking on a carpet, isn't it? A soft rubber cushion. There's no point in putting a carpet, you know, it's impractical, it's stupidity, isn't it? So just like that, if you have understood this principle, that your mind is actually to be trained up. If your mind is controlled, then wherever you go, it's as good as walking on a rubber carpet. You'll be always in bliss. If you're always thinking of Krishna, wherever you are, just chanting Hare Krishna. When as you get purified, you will start experiencing higher and higher forms of happiness. So because our mind is contaminated. Isn't it? Like we go to get a results. You know, I asked a student, 10 standard results have come out. I asked him, so how much did you get? I won't tell the name of the boy. So he said, I got 80%. I said, oh, good, 80%, very nice. So he had a brother. So I said, how much did your brother get? So he looked down and he said, he got 85%. So I asked him, did you expect 80%? No, I didn't expect 80%. By Krishna's grace, I got 80%. Really good. So then why is he feeling bad that someone got more than him? It happens, isn't it? We got more than what we expected. Yeah? And we're very happy about it. But then when we see our close, near and dear friends get a little bit something higher than that, and we become, oh, why did he get more than me? Isn't it? That is the nature of a polluted mind. We are jealous. We are envious. We are lusty. We are greedy. We are, you know, all those six anarthas are there in the minds. And as long as these things are there in the minds, we cannot be peaceful. Forget about peace. It's not possible. You can't get peace in this world. Therefore, the Shastra explained, purify your mind. Chant Hare Krishna. That is the process. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam asthiram tato tato niyamyaitat atmanya eva vashamnayat. Whenever your mind wanders, bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. And put it on Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. So that is the process. So we have to be very careful. So what are the principles we should be following? What are the process that we should be following? The four principles. A, B, C and D. If we find it difficult to control our minds and chant, because our mind is very flickering, many people, you know, they become very frustrated. Prabhu, chhod diya, I just gave up chanting. I said, why? I feel like a hypocrite. You know, I said to chant and then I'm thinking about all these different things. Doodh aya ki nahi, doodh wala aya ki nahi, this and that and all these things. I just can't focus. Why to be a hypocrite? I'm just holding the bead bag in my hand and I'm thinking of all different things. So I just gave it up. No, we should not lose hope. We should keep trying. Keep trying. That is the process. Keep a watch on your mind. Where is it going? First of all is to realize that your mind is wandering. Realize. Like sometimes we, you know, some people say, aap mala jab karte ho? Haan, nahi, matlab jab, main 24 ghante karta hu. So we don't realize actually our mind, you know. We have to first of all be aware that our mind is unsteady. Like some people say, you know, main apna man ka malik hu, koi problem nahi hai. Jo man bolta hai, main karta hu. Isn't it? So that you're not man ka malik actually. You're following the dictations of the mind. Like sometimes people who are addicted, say someone is smoking, you know, and you tell him, why did you give up? Why do you smoke? He says, you know, I like smoking. I can give it up anytime, no problem. You know, I mean, I just picked it up, you know, just some kind of time pass. So he doesn't realize that he's actually an addict. Because you'll actually realize your mind is controlling you when you try to give up that habit. And then you find it very difficult. That's why I decided, you know, smoking is easy to give up because I've given it up many times. Get it? Given it up many times. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. Mind, once it gets addicted to something, gets obsessed with something, then it will keep on tormenting. Keep on tormenting. So therefore, it's very important. So if you cannot control your mind, never mind. Come to the temple. So the first principle is association. The A, B, C, D of practicing Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, is association. To regularly come to the temple. As I took the story of Bharat Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj was alone in the forest. There was no one to tell him that, hey, you're getting attached to this deer here. Come on, be detached. So if you have friends along with you to come and encourage you, if you don't have them, then you won't get inspiration. You find everyone around you just, you know, enjoying life. And then it's not an inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness. So when you come with those people who are like very determined, very sincere, and who are like happy practicing Krishna consciousness, you feel great inspiration. So first important principle is association. Come to the association of devotees. Prabhupada gives the example that just like an iron rod, if you put a metal rod into fire, after some time, the metal rod becomes just like fire. Isn't it? If you touch the metal rod, you'll get a burn. It becomes red hot just like fire. So just like that, when we come into the association, we become saintly. And we can see the example in the Shastras. Narad Muni, he was a hunter, isn't it? Mrigari. He was a hunter and he got the association of Narada. He was killing animals, half killing them. Narada came and told him, so what are you doing? Why are you half killing them? You'll have to go to hell for this. Hell? What do you mean hell? He never realized what is the consequences of his action. Of course, if you kill animals, you'll go to hell. He says, how can I reform my life? Says, just give up your profession. Worship Tulsi, chant Hare Krishna. He did that. And he became saintly. And when Narada came to meet with him, and he wanted to offer his obeisances, and he saw some few ants on the ground and he was dusting them. He didn't want to kill the ants. Why? Because he had become a saintly person. On one hand, he was such a criminal, such a violent man killing animals. And on another hand, he becomes a saintly person. Why? Because of association of a saintly person. Therefore, it is said in the Shastra, sadhu sanga sarva shastra kahe, lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoye. If you get a moment's association of a great saintly person, then what happens? Sarva siddhi hoye. You will develop all the perfections of life. What you want, you'll get everything. Everything, including devotion. Second very important principle is to read the Bhagavad Gita regularly. Once when I was in a college, I asked one question to the students. How many chapters are there in the Gita? Or how many verses are there in the Gita? So one boy raised his hand and he says, 18,000. He didn't know. So these days people are not reading the books, Shastras. People are not reading Bhagavad Gita. How unfortunate. You know, I like to tell this story. In one school, one inspector comes from outside. Yeah? Inspector, you know. So he comes and asks, "So, Shivji ka dhanush kisne toda?" He asks this question to the people. So no one knew the answer. He says, "Tum bolo, Shivji ka dhanush kisne toda?" So that student became afraid. He says, "Sir, I don't know. Aap batao." You say, who broke the bow of Lord Shiva? No. So then one boy was distracted and he was doing something. He says, you, stand up. Who broke the bow of Lord Shiva? So, sir, I didn't break it, sir. So what is this? So he looks at the teacher and he says, what is this going on in your school? I'm asking a simple question. Who broke the bow of Lord Shiva? And they're saying that they've not broken it. What's going on here? So teacher says, sir, This boy is a liar number one. He only might have broken it. So the teacher also did not know actually. So that inspector becomes frustrated. He says, what is going on here? There is no value education being given in the school. They don't know Ramayana. There is no Mahabharata. Okay. So he goes to the principal. He says, what is going on in your school? Ask a simple question. Who broke the bow of Lord Shiva? Student says he has not broken it. Teacher says he has broken it. So the principal says, sir, sir, calm down, sir. Calm down, sir. Please take a seat. Whoever has broken the bow, we will compensate for the damages. So the thing is that no one knew actually who broke the bow of Lord Shiva. Great mystery actually. So the thing is that value education, so-called value education, is completely stopped. Therefore we see our ISKCON devotees are going to schools and teaching them some basics. It's very important. So we have to read the books, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Sometimes we distribute books and we ask him, where is the Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is lying as it is in my house. Or we go to the house and we say, where is the Bhagavad Gita? There are Bhagavad Gita, dikhao. Ab dhoondna padega, kidhar rakha pata nahi. Isn't it? So that is the situation. So we have to read Bhagavad Gita every day. Or at least some books which Srila Prabhupada has written. Regularly we have to keep reminding ourselves. Because there are so many books in the market, you see. And people are reading. So why not just read? But ultimately all those books are not going to help us at the time of death. Will it? If we are big engineers, big doctors, say. Bombay's top cardiologist. About a year ago he died. How he died? The irony, heart attack. Cardiologist. So the knowledge of cardiology cannot help you if you are going to die, isn't it? But Bhagavad Gita will save us. Bhagavad Gita will save us. And there was, during Srila Prabhupada's time, when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in America, there was one girl, American girl. So she came and... She was a grammar student. Okay. American girl. So Srila Prabhupada looked at her and said, so, are you reading Gita? She says, no, Srila Prabhupada, I'm not interested in Gita. So then Srila Prabhupada said, So you are young and beautiful. So she started blushing. And said, all the boys are probably attracted to you. She started blushing even more. And then he said, do you want to stay young forever? She says, yes. But will you be able to stay young forever? She says, no. So you are a grammar student. Can your grammar help you in this respect? She says, no. So the Bhagavad Gita will help you overcome the problem of birth and death. So now do you want to read the Bhagavad Gita? She says, yes, I want to. So we have to learn to see the connection, isn't it? Because ultimately in this world, we have to be far-sighted. We have to be far-sighted. We should not be short-sighted. These are all things will pass, All these things are there. It will come and go. We have to be short-sighted as well as long-sighted. I'm not saying that we have to be short-sighted or long-sighted only. We have to have both in perspective. And we have to understand that reading Gita is also very, very important. Third important thing is to chant Hare Krishna. Regularly. Regularly on the beats. And lastly is to take Krishna Prasad. Take Krishna Prasad. Is to always offer food that you cook at home and then have it. To try to avoid all kinds of non-vegetarian foods and try to cook sattvic ahar. And offer it to God and then honor it. If one does these four things, association, books, chanting and diet, if one follows these four things, A, B, C, D's of spiritual life, rest assured that we can actually make tangible progress in Krishna consciousness. And we should not lose hope. We should not be frustrated. Oh, it's far-fetched idea, controlling the mind is impossible. No, it is possible. It's quite possible. Therefore, in the Shastra it is explained, Utsaha nischaya dhairyat tattat karma pravartanat sanga tyaga shatovritti shadbir bhakti prasiddhati. That for spiritual life you need utsaha nischaya and dhairyat. You need enthusiasm. You need nishchaya. You need confidence. And you need dhairya. You need patience. You have to be very patient. If you're not patient, you'll lose, you know, you want immediate results. These days, you know, it's a days of immediate instant. Everything instant coffee, instant tea, instant this, instant that. So we also expect instant results. But no, we have to be patient. The result is not in our hands. The result is in God's hands. And the difference between what has been mentioned here in Ashtanga Yoga and in Bhakti Yoga, what we are practicing, is that in Ashtanga Yoga, you rely on your own ability to control your mind. But in Bhakti Yoga, you depend on God to control your mind for you. Therefore, the success, the probability of success in Bhakti Yoga is far greater than that in Ashtanga Yoga. Because we are not yogis. Yogis think that I will control my mind, and they are strenuously endeavoring to control their minds. But for a devotee, Krishna comes and controls his mind. That is the difference. And we pray to God, please help me. Let me make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we have to be serious and sincere. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a story of Mukunda Dutt. He was a nice devotee. But sometimes he would go out of the association and he would, you know, probably he would just wander around in a Mayavadi association sometimes, because he had some acquaintances there. Just to keep them happy, he would go there sometimes. So the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, didn't like it. How come you are a devotee and you are going in the association of Mayavadis, of, you know, impersonal philosophers? He became very upset. So that is a very important principle we should remember. That for a person who is very serious about making advancement in devotion, must very, very strictly avoid the association of so-called philosophers outside. Otherwise, advancement is very difficult. Krishna does not like devotees associating with non-devotees or philosophers. So this Mukunda Dutt would go sometimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this Mukunda Dutt is a hypocrite. He comes to us, with us, he discusses devotion, and then he goes to the impersonal philosophers and he is discussing Mayavads. How dare he does that? I banish him from my association. I will not meet with him anymore. So Mukunda Dutt becomes very upset. When he comes to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his assistants tell him that you can't meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He doesn't want to meet. He says, why? What have I done? He says, he doesn't like you, you know, associating. So then he makes a request, petitions Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that can you please ask him, is there someday I can get his association? Will I get his mercy someday? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sends the reply. He says, I will meet with him after a million lives. He'll have to meet a million lives before he gets my kripa, my mercy. So Mukunda Dutt, when he hears that, he starts jumping with joy. He says, amazing, amazing. At least after millions of lives, I will get association. I will get his mercy. At least after millions, that's nothing. And looking at the enthusiasm and the patience of Mukunda Dutt to get the mercy, he didn't get offended. He was not offended that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't give him mercy. Like sometimes when we come to the temple, sometimes it happens. Come for prasad and, you know, prasad is not available sometimes. So we get angry. Prasad nahi diya. Get angry, isn't it? But prasad means what? Mercy. If you get it, it's mercy. It's kripa. We don't have any right to prasad. Mercy comes because of the goodwill of God, Krishna. Krishna wants, he will give. He doesn't want, we cannot say. Just like we are going on the road, and when you stop at the signal, one beggar comes. He says, paisa do. And you give him 1 rupee. Second day you go, wait at the signal, he comes, paisa do. And you give him 1 rupee. Third day you go, 1 rupee. Fourth day you go, 1 rupee. Then after that, you don't go there for a month. And then after 1 month, you go there. And then he comes onto your window and he says, 30 rupees. Give me 30 rupees. Ek mahine ke liye aapne diya nahi, 30 rupees do. So what will you say to that? Isn't it? You know, you say, he doesn't have any right. I was giving him out of my free will. He doesn't deserve it. He has not earned it. I've given him out of my pleasure. So the thing is that we have to understand that mercy is when we get it. So we have to be broad-minded. We have to be very patient. We have to be very humble. And that is a very important principle also when we chant Hare Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls Mukunda Das, you please come. And he gives him the mercy. Forgives him for his offense. So therefore a very important principle in devotion on the path of yoga is that utsaha. We have to be very enthusiastic. Nishchaya, we have to be confident. And we have to be very patient. Even if it takes millions of lives, never mind. Because success is guaranteed. Krishna explains that in the Gita. So, that is a very important principle that A, B, C, D must be followed. And in association, one must be very careful. One should not be too much addicted to television. Because that's a very bad association at home you get. You know, statistics show that a student is exposed to 15,000 hours of television as opposed to 11,000 hours of school. That means for every 11,000 hours of school, he gets 15,000 hours of television. So you see so many, you know, you get so many influences. So therefore one has to be careful about these things. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadabhi Sunichena Taro Rivasreshna. When you chant, one should be humble. Humble enough. And in that state of mind, one can chant constantly. Hare Krishna. So any questions, if anyone has any questions? Kisi ka koi prashna hai? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.